What's up, everyone, and welcome down to another episode of Zetro's Toxic Vault. And I got my man here with me. Guy, I don't think we've even, there's been a couple that's been shown this year, earlier in the year, that we filmed last year that we knew were going to be for
right.
season two, but I haven't seen you in.
It's been a while. I grew June. A beard since last time.
I know. Look, he's lost some weight. Lost some weight.
When he got sick and people on Facebook said,
is that what you did?
I
really?
I didn't know that. And I haven't shaved it yet, and I thought I'd break it out. But yeah, it's a new world, huh? It's like a science fiction movie.
Yeah, since the last time you and I were sitting here.
It's a pandemic world now.
It has completely changed. Hopefully, it's not a long time thing. Hopefully, this is temporary. I mean,
it's
meaning by
me
a
out.
Year, maybe a year.
Me
I mean,
it's here.
Just gonna. It looks like it is. Hopefully, in next year at this. Hopefully, in 2 years from that, this time we could go. God, remember when we all got shut down for
we'll
4 or 5 months
this period,
in 2020?
Right?
I guess that's what makes history, though. What, right? You wouldn't have history if these things didn't happen. You know, the
assassinations. And whoever you're with, your family, it's a lot of quality time you're spending. Here,
I don't want to hear from anybody. Oh, I just haven't had any time to do that. Everybody in this whole fucking world has had time to do everything that you ever wanted to procrastinate beside. You should see the pot plants. Well, I have been showing you guys pot plants that I'm growing. My backyard.
How about
clear.
Some
my
spring cleaning? You
good.
Done that?
Yeah, I'm totally cleaning. Nothing to do. So, well, we thought there wasn't a lot going on. As in the past, we've had many episodes. You know, we were going 7 days a week at one time. Then we cut it down to four, but the pandemic kind of cooled off from...
Season two took a
well,
back
it did only because we only because of the circumstances.
We have to be safe.
Movies
too,
are closed, so we haven't gone and done any dumb movies or anything like that. So we kind of kept the shelter in place as it's been going. Now it's backing off a bit, and we feel like, you know, fuck it. It's time to get on with life. Life is going to get too short, especially for some of us who are elder statesmen. We need to get moving.
And I've been in quarantine.
I've been in quarantine.
Wayne's been in quarantine, yeah, so we're not really
so
a threat
I haven't even
to
been
each
to the,
other.
I haven't even been, the grocery store. I haven't even been in. I have I have Vicky do that. I don't even go to the grocery store. So I stayed away. So I felt we have been putting episodes up, stuff that we have been showing, stuff from the tour.
I watched all those.
My own, so those were cool, huh? Those were fun.
Very insightful.
Well, that's fun. And I'll continue to do that as whenever this shit stops and we can go back out on the road. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be a good idea to have Walter come in and we would do viewer comments, another episode of viewer comments, and talk about, you know, what you guys think about what's going on, because we like to do this. That's why I'm always asking you to always leave me your comments. If you got something
to say.
The
good ones make it. The questions.
Well, it's not even the good ones. It's just like we see everything. I want you to know, if you wish me happy birthday, which we saw a lot of those, right? You said you saw a ton of those.
Right. So and lots of things I couldn't put in here.
It's hard to talk about all those, you know, when you wish me and Walt
happy
good
birthday.
And when you wish, you know, stay and you like the content, keep it up. You, of course. Those, you know, we see those. We see every, I read every single comment, and so does Wayne, and so does Walter. And so we like to stick it to, like, a lot of the questions or the more interesting comments. But again, we appreciate all of these that you guys do and all of the time. We're closing in on, and for me, this is a big thing. We're almost at 5,000 subscribers. I know it doesn't seem like a lot of people because there's people out there that got millions of subscribers. But for me, it's cool because I think that many...
It's underground. It's like the music.
Exactly.
Right?
I've never done any advertising for this at all. It's just kind of word of mouth and people that know we do it. So keep spreading the word and watch my show on the screen. Don't you think it looks better?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're at work or something, you got to watch it on your phone or... In your car, well, it's not traffic anymore. I say it's stuck in traffic. You can always look at it. But watch this stuff.
In your living room, on your smart TV.
It's great that way. And then help, you know, if you haven't subscribe. It doesn't cost anything. It just means you're a part of our little clique. I remember when I used to first see that on YouTube, I think, subscribe, great. Now I've got to pay $12.99 to listen to this guy rant. But that's not the case. It's just, you know, you subscribe so you'll get alerts and when I'm doing shows and stuff. So, and it makes me... feel great when I see the numbers growing, and they have grown immensely, and we've done so much over the last year, all these different things on the show, and we've kind of found
you should be proud of that, because it's a good show.
It is. People do like it. We've had, you know, like so much diversity. We've taught you how to make stoner candy. We've had Waddy from the Exploited End.
Talk about, yeah, we're so talking a punk connection, you know, a metal connection.
We've talked to local bands.
A horror
bands.
Collection.
Yeah, exactly. We talked to guys that own toys. The guy, Will Hebner, who supplies this season with all of the toys for the set.
That looks great.
You know, we talked to Will. You know, we talked to Shayna about soap, over six, the little cool six soaps. I mean, there's a lot of different content we have, and it seems like the good ones are always been the interviews and the old school people, because people are very interested and enamored by
I think you bring out a lot of things in the guests that people want to hear, because you could read a magazine and they're asking how's a new album, blah blah, but you're go way back into how they got into music.
Well,
and that's what I find interesting.
This is what I think is I try to isolate the person and isolate the player that's here, regardless of the magnitude of the performer that's here. I want to find out how it ticked and how it ended up the way it ended up. And I think that that was something that I started, because I don't have a time limit here. I can do when I can, if it takes, you know, 8 episodes in 8 hours to tell the story, we've done that already.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And if there's multiple players, there have all different aspects of how it went down. And that's all very much interesting. So I like to get the full story. And I think that those that are really kind of
unique too,
fascinated by what we did here in the Bay Area back in a time and
how
still
it started,
continue. That's I think the fascination worldwide is why, you know, even though, and we saw that on the Bay Strikes Back tour, which we'll talk about. And, I think the fascination for Bay Area thrash metal is just so deep. People really want to know. And those that are aware and were older statesmen, like Walter and myself are, they identify with that because they were there, you know, so they know, or they were around at that time. They might have grown up in England, but they were 22 and 86 like I was, and they knew what was going on, you know?
Yeah, there was no social media. It was
magazines. Right, it was magazines and tape
albums.
Tradings and albums and bootlegs and what you can do. So we wanted to take today's episodes and do viewer comments and just talk about some of the stuff.
And I thought we'd pick up the comments from this pandemic world of season two, where it started, where you started putting out content again. And I'll mention a couple things, as I can't read all the comments that were made, but many, many viewers sent in their get well wishes and prayers and thoughts for the band and crew members that were infected and recovering. And everyone mentioned Will Carroll numerous times, who got the worst reaction from the COVID-19. So I couldn't put in all these comments because we were flooded with those. And of course,
let me speak about that. I know there's people out there, there may be some of you all over the world that go, you know, I don't know anybody who even remotely got this, you know, and I don't know even anybody who knows somebody who got it. And it's kind of strange, but that I was a part of something where multiple people.
But in the infancy of this disease,
right, exactly,
in the United States.
Right.
That's the key.
That was weird. And they were affected by it. And it seems like a lot of people think that it isn't what it was. And I have to say, personally, for the people that I knew that got it, you know what I mean? They got sick from something, you know, something rattled them, you know, and maybe it was
no conspiracy.
I don't think it's luck of the, and maybe it's luck of the draw then, I guess, because I mean, you know, everybody knows that I'm very much a partaker in this. And, the night before, we left 5 hours before we got on the plane in Dusseldorf, because that's where Death Angel and I, we keep our gear, keep our gear in Dusseldorf, Germany. We don't carry it with us. We have stuff over there and stuff here because we're over there so much. And we were placed in called Captured Live, where we store our gear. And we all went out for a band dinner that night. And whereas all of the guys in Exodus and crew and all of the guys in Death Angel and crew. Now, Testament does that in another place in Frankfurt. So they weren't with us on that. So now, I guess Rob got it. Will got it. I know their lighting guy got it. I know their road manager.
Aaron.
She was sick, but did she come positive? I'm not quite sure.
No, but
she
was really
very
sick. Yes.
And I'm not quite sure if she tested or not, to find out. But, I mean, I was doing this with Will 5 hours before we got. And then when we got on the plane, there was many, many empty rows, and it seemed like it had already affected travel or air travel. To whereas, I mean, any flight you come back from Europe or to Europe, they're usually packed.
But you got back right before they shut everything down.
Well, they shut it down.
Yeah,
she shut it down
24 hours within that.
They shut it down on the Friday. We were flying home on the Thursday because I was sitting in the back of the bus taking a nap. It was about 2:30 in the morning, and Lee came back there and flipped all the lights on. Everybody was kind of resting and goes, fucking, you're not going to believe this. Trump just put a fucking flight, a no travel ban on anybody coming in from Europe, and we're ready to go to the airport. We're going, what? And he's like, yeah, it's like nobody from Europe can fly nowhere. I'm like, so we're stuck here? So then we found
out. Well, you might have been.
Well, we found out in the next hour that it explained that that wasn't going into effect until Friday at midnight, and we were well before that, and it really didn't affect U.S. travelers. If you were an American, you could come home, but we didn't know that at that time, so our focus was get on that fucking plane and get out of here. So we were all in the airplane together. We were all in the airport together, and so I can't say where.
Well, you weren't social distancing, and that's the key.
And we weren't. And I mean,
that was the key.
On the plane, I was walking back to go to the bathroom, and Will was sitting at the outside seat by the bathroom, and he pulled his headphones off, and he goes, hey, Zet, have you seen Doctor Strange? And I said, yes, I have. And I said, that's the continuation of The Shining.
Doctor Sleep.
Yeah, smell some of this in the morning. Woo, good stuff too. Doctor Sleep, I'm sorry. And he goes, you see this? I go, oh yeah, it's killer. And me and I'm leaning into his seat and talking to him like this, back and forth. And it's just like, how did I not? I didn't. If I had it, then maybe I was asymptomatic.
And Gary's the only one that got it.
Gary was the only one on the Exodus bus. Now, I mean, our tour party that got sick. Tom said he had felt some sniffles through a couple of the weeks, but didn't feel anything, you know, and that could be bus lung or anything, but nobody carried it. So, again, a very,
well, you were lucky. I will say that.
I guess so. Or I've got some type of antibody in me that's not accepting it. What, for whatever reason, because I had a friend come to the Nottingham show, which was the second to last show because we didn't play Hanover. We played Brussels. And he brought me this cool ass shirt and another present for this thing. And we're out taking pictures, and I was out by the merch booth after the gig, and I'm taking pictures with him and his friends. And 5 days later, I get a call and saying, hey, Zet, positive for COVID-19. And I was 2 days before we left, you know, hanging on. We were all taking pictures, doing devil horns and all that kind of stuff. So besides the crowds, sold out venues every night, mosh pit going on,
the sweating,
thrashing, sweating, the breathing in the air.
In a contained
in
place.
In the contained place. Come on. It was a festering disease waiting to happen. Everybody walked into the bathroom. You're touching there. Everybody goes on the bathroom. Everybody goes into the shower for whatever. You know what I mean? It's not, you know,
well,
so.
I think that the people that did get infected and came back, and once the story broke, it was a new disease and a new thing.
It's still very new, but it seems like we're so much more educated now, even it's only 2 months.
And it put a real face to people that can say, hey, Steve was there. Chuck Billy had the disease and the virus. And
well,
that's
Will Carroll almost died from the disease.
Right.
And we saw that firsthand.
Yes.
And, you know, and so, I mean,
he's very lucky, because I've read and heard that 70% of the people that are on a ventilator don't wake up. That's just what the numbers are. They don't have a handle on this yet. But like I said, so many comments on wanting you guys to know how much the fans care about each
band member. And I saw
that.
And we saw that. So thanks. So.
And then many viewers commented on the shows in these cities in particular, Glasgow and Dublin, Bristol, Oslo, London, Manchester. they were mentioned more than once. So they must have
seems like the English shows, huh? All the UK. I well, other than
some
also,
great fans there.
I gotta say, they were great everywhere. There wasn't one place where we went where we were like, they were okay. It was a great tour. It was a great tour package, and we knew that because we're fans ourselves, and we're fans of each other, and we're admirers of each other. So we know what each other has in the tank, and we knew that this tour was going to be like that. We knew that the fan reaction abroad, especially because they've always been, and I've said it before, fascinated with the Bay Area thrash. And I think
that's have the biggest festivals in the world, right?
I think that's a reason why they started it. I think that's a good reason why we tested the waters with them first, and the testing went great. Let's just say the testing was great. And but I have to say, everywhere was awesome.
Every show Finland was almost sold out or
Finland
sold out.
Finland was killer. Sweden was killer, other than being strip searched naked at the border. And
I love that story, by the way.
It's the greatest. That's rock and roll, baby. That's what happens to us. Come on. All of them were killer. Paris was killer. All of them. I can't say that one was not. And I
mentioned the ones
there
that
was 29
were
of them, right?
I think
it was 29
more
of
than
them.
Once.
And they were just so much fun. And
everybody wants this tour to come to the United States. That's another thing that was mentioned. But like you said, it might happen. This is the future. You know, Chuck, I saw his interview, and he really wants it to happen later on. We don't know when this is all going to, you know, get back to normal.
I mean, they're not even letting sports, so people can't get together anymore. So concerts are of,
we'll see how football season goes. Probably playing to empty stands.
They may just be.
Just like NASCAR is right now.
Yeah, they may just be. They have to.
All right.
Got to do that.
So anyway, we'll get on to this. Many people wish you a happy 56th birthday. That was in that time period.
Thank you. 56, huh?
That's right.
Still a young kid.
So we'll pick up
still
right.
Still playing my fucking toys up here, so still a young kid.
Yeah, and I know lots of people send you these things, these toys now, huh?
I know, and keep that up. I'm going to point right here. And my buddy Wayne there, who doesn't have to edit two cameras today, can put this graphic up right there, or three cameras today. And that's the graphic if you want to send postcards and send them, because I'll hang them. Like, look behind Walter. I've got cards that people sent us and toys. If you bring me some cool stuff, I'll put it up on here. That Planet of the Apes was a gift sent to me.
All right. So we'll start out with Catutlu 1971 says, please get back on the road. We Italian fans deserve a special kicking ass show. And I know that that's on your priority list.
Yeah, yeah. We knew that because that show was pretty much sold out too.
Right.
And that's kind
Italy's
of.
Italy's a great
that kind
country.
Of gave us the inkling that something's really going on. So, because we were in Switzerland, and I remember Chuck coming in and going, now's that. We're not going tomorrow. We're going straight to Barcelona. I'm like,
well, I heard if you played that show, there was a chance that they were locked.
Wouldn't let us out.
They wouldn't let you out.
They wouldn't let us out. All but right. They weren't allowing people to go out anymore at that time anymore. We would have been breaking all kinds of, ordinances that stay in place orders. Mm. You know, so
there's lots of countries and
we'll
cities.
We'll be back,
that,
Italy. We'll be yes. back. We noticed. We paid attention to the numbers. If you were good on that last tour. We knew it. We knew it. We paid attention.
All right. And so Zoo Nation, a lot of movies had been out, and one that was asked about was, did you see The Invisible Man?
Yes, I did, and I loved it.
Did you see that on a plane or something?
I watched it in London.
You did.
Right before they got... I had a day off in London before the London show, and I went down to that big square where O2 Arena, and
they have
all the restaurants.
The roundabout
and,
thing. And I
yeah, the roundabout. I went down there and hung out all day, and I went, I'm all, no way. It's playing here, and I went and had...
That was the last movie that I saw in a theater.
I actually saw... I got when I came home, me and Vicky went and saw The Hunt, and then they pulled it. But I did
so see... So I enjoyed it, too. It was a good
movie. I did see The Invisible Man. I loved it. I thought
it was the modern tech edge to the.
It was so cool. What a good way. I'm glad that Universal is coming back to the old monster movies. They did The Mummy a couple years ago with Tom Cruise, which I thought was okay.
And Elizabeth Moss is becoming.
I know. Look at that.
A headlining star now,
huh? She's a headliner.
Good.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
All right. And now Ruben Archenga wanted to know if you could check out The Night Shifter on Shudder. Bro, if you haven't already seen it, it's a great Brazilian horror film, so I thought I'd mention that.
Is it, does it subtitles or is it dubbed?
He didn't mention, but...
I know Shudder, people, they got good stuff on Shudder.
Okay. And L. Patsy Guerrero had a question. Why don't you do all your guests via Skype or Zoom?
We're trying to figure that out and trying to figure out how to do that. I do like the personal interaction. So that has been a hindrance of guests. I could have many, 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 many more guests on my show. I basically have to wait till they come to California to get them in. That's why I've pretty much done a lot of the Bay Area. And when people come through, I have them in. But I could turn it into a great thing there. But then the visual is not all that good anymore. Then it's not as clear, and you can't see the facial expressions all that well. And then you're just some other podcast doing a webcast. So as much as we're working on that, we're trying to do that. We're
well, it's summertime or just kicked in here, right? So summertime. So hopefully this flattens out.
LBC? No.
And so, you know, we're not on lockdown as strict as before.
No.
So things will be.
We're not as strict. We're not on lockdown.
On the vault. All right. And the Gusto Alavalon, this is on the Warbringer John Cavill episode. He goes, I love Warbringer. So glad you interviewed John. And what do you got to say about John?
John's a great guy. We've got to do so much with John in the past. I didn't really, because, you know, Exodus and Warbringer did when Rob was singing, but I have done some stuff with him.
I heard you came on stage with him.
Yeah, yeah. I came out with him on a Slim show, but I've also, they came to us in Japan and I got to really talk to him and got to know him there. And a lot of the viewer comments were, you know, get Warbringer in, get some of those guys in. And so I was just waiting until he was coming up.
And he mentions that he'd love to see an Exodus and Warbringer.
Yeah, it would be cool.
They're a good support band for you
guys. There's going to be a lot of options to tour.
And they have a new album out too.
Well,
right?
It'll be old by the time we could probably get, it won't be old because it'll,
And that leads right into this next question by Nate Landhair. Warbringer, Havoc, Power Trip, and Municipal Waste. These are the bands that reclaimed thrash, and I'm so glad to see John on this channel. And that's what's great, because now you got bands.
And I'm going to be a homer and Hatriot.
Okay, and that's true. That's true. Totally. But those are the bands that are, because you can't do it forever, ever.
Well, not forever, ever, right. But I mean, you need to keep the flag flying, and I would say
that these bands
bands fly the flag quite well.
That's true.
And they have definitely, now, I'm sorry to say, I'm only in my 50s. I got a long one. Rolling Stones are still going in their late 70s, so I got a lot of gas left in me. We all see that I'm a pistol, and I am not slowing down any fucking time soon.
It takes years also for these brand names like Exodus, Testament, Overkill, etc. You get so much built into your name over the years, right? And these bands are up and coming, and
it just takes time.
They're reaching that portion where they know who they are now.
Some of us from time to time have taken stints where I've gone 10 years and not played, in Exodus, but for the most part, I mean, that's what I've done since 86.
Okay. And now, Mike Rudavina, who we know very well.
You know Mike.
Glad you're back and safe. It's the future. With the movie theaters closed, I sense a shitload of Netflix and LOL. Stay safe, Zett and Walt and Wayne.
I hate it. I want to go to the movies and take a row out just like we did. I know. I'm sorry. I am like chomping at the bit right now. I was telling Vicky this morning, I'll probably go to the movies every day that it opens till I've seen everything that comes out when it first comes around. I love the experience. I love the smell. I love the lights. I love everything about it. And it's like, it's part of what I do. And it's completely...
Plus, you go when the movie theater's open and there's hardly anybody there. And you sit in the back.
I sit in the back. It's very safe. Exactly. I'm the safest moviegoer in the world. You know what I mean? So, and that's my thing. I go 10:30. I went and saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood last year when it was released. I saw the 8:30 a.m. showing. Yes, I had popcorn. You're damn right I did. 8:30 a.m. showing. I don't care. I like to go to the movies. early when nobody is there. And I knew there was, I think, one other person to the left of me in this huge auditorium to see the opening of Quentin Tarantino's movie. And I, you know, I'm the only one in there. I think I showed a video when I went and saw Star Wars. I was the only person in there. And it was like the next day. But I go at, but the first
That's the time was, I really like to go
The
to.
First showing was at 8:10 in the morning. And I was there, you know.
I know you, and you're a morning person, too. And that matters, right? You're
yes, not, it does.
Because you're asleep by 10 o'clock.
When 11,
when,
yeah.
When people go to the movies, like when we were young. Oh, you go to the late show. Now it's
10, 11. I'm done.
All right.
I'm back up at 5:30. Well, if I sleep past, if I'm in bed, actually, past 7 o'clock, that is sleeping in, people. That is actually sleeping in.
All right. Mike, huh, for
Wayne?
Metal.
Try that, Wayne. Try that, Wayne.
It was killer seeing you up on stage with Warbringer at Slim's. You killed it. And we just talked about that, so we'll move on to that.
Thank you for that.
All right. And then something I noticed is the biggest episode before the Chuck Billy episode that just aired is, if you didn't know, is the COVID-19 update. It was the biggest of the season so far, and I thought I'd mention that.
I think a lot of it was that people, because of the closure, and it was early on in the closure, and we were... It was right after
And they were getting
we
the news
back.
Directly from you.
You know what I mean? I think that, I mean, it was because I was on the tour.
Yeah.
It was the closest, what can you say, degree of to it. You know, they say right. 6 degrees of something was close.
It was degree, a time frame
and
when that episode came out
were interested
in the world.
In what was going on. And so, and we, none of us knew at that point, really.
Right. Okay. And Ron Duke says, to be as serious for a second, over the past several years, thrash has seen a resurgence, and it's been fantastic to see. Do you think, with all the tours being canceled and all the revenues being lost, that some bands might just throw in the towel and call it a day? I really do hope that doesn't happen, but I'd like to think we have a strong worldwide community, and can we get through this pandemic together? What do you think?
What else are they going to do? They don't know how to do nothing. I'm a 56-year-old man. I mean, even though I was a union carpenter for 20 years back in...
And you could still do that if you wanted to.
Who wanted to? I don't want to do that shit. I ain't getting my fucking hands and knee. Cool. I ain't going to a construction site. My point is nobody's going anywhere. This is what we do. This is what we are.
And like
Heavy
you said,
metal is what it is.
More music will be written in
I
this
agree.
Time. So
there's
going to
be more people writing music now and writing. You're probably next year, the influx of new records... people are going to be waiting through their labels to release stuff because their labels are going to be backed up hard with so much releases they want to do and they're going to have priorities on that stuff. So, no, I do not. I think it will be back to normal. You, as in metal fans, have always been loyal. Nobody's going to come up to you and go, you know, that shit sucks. You know, when are you going to listen to it? No, you don't care. You love metal like we do. We're metalheads. This is what we are. No, but that's not going to change. So don't worry about that, bro. Ain't going anywhere.
That's a good question.
Good question.
And now we go to the Glenn Alvali Tenet episode. And Minotaur asks, cool teasers that appreciate having Glenn in the vault. Big fan of the Tenet record. All-star lineup with memorable songs, one after another, knocking it out of the park. I hope you will get together another album put together soon, and if not in the near distant future.
Well, I know... It seems like this three-way conversation between myself, Jed Simon, and Glenn goes on. And Jed was actually, he's the brainchild of Tenet.
I was here when you did that.
Right,
He came out here.
Yeah, he came out when I did the vocals. And he wrote all the songs and wrote all the lyrics in it. So it's very special to him. And I know that he's back in, we see him, he lives in Philadelphia with his lovely wife, Suzanne, and their son, Eddie, and we... I know that he's raising Eddie right now, and I know from being on that level that it's very important to raise the kids at that age. But I'll say this, and I've had this conversation with him. Eddie is getting older, and as kids get older, you find your way back to this. So,
well, what's cool about it, at the time that Tenet record was made, the technology...
See, Jed, I just set you up for...
The technology was less.
Getting the band back together.
But nowadays, you don't need to come out here. You can send things.
Look what we just did with the Wake Up Dead thing.
Right.
Jason Bittner called me a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, Zed, I'm doing this lockdown project. Would you like to be a part of it? You know,
that came out really well. I just saw that this morning.
Thank you. And I said,
it just came out today on
Well, it's there yesterday, I believe, on you
on Blabbermouth hit this morning.
But I mean, it's if you went to it was actually out on Monday, Facebook, on Jason Bittner's, and it was something that, you know, here we take a great song, which is a staple fucking Megadeth song, and put four guys who, you know what they're doing. Jack played bass on it, you know, and actually from Exodus, and
see, he's in Nashville, so
we couldn't do it. Right. So we just all did our parts remotely, and we videotaped them remotely. And
very cool. It's
very easy to do.
Good seeing Glenn on the vault. You know, everyone got a lot of requests for him.
And we'll get Glenn back to talk about his side of the Forbidden story. And we talked about that. And he wasn't ready to come on and do it. But I said, okay, well, if you're not going to do that, can you at least come on and we'll do the Tenet record and we'll talk about the Tenet. He says, I'll do that. So
that's good.
I'm trying to get all you guys, I'm trying to get, you know, the best stories and the and all of the guys out to give their side, regardless of the magnitude of who they were and what band they played in at the time. It all was relevant.
All right. Now we're going to movie night, Bloody Bloody Bible Camp. Wayne must have picked that one.
Well, he did, but we were very lucky to get the director, Vito, who came in and sat here and did it with me. And that was, which was fun about that is, I'm sitting, in fact, we have it right back over there. See, there's the DVD copy, mm-hmm. Walter. I thought that was cool because everybody knows, you can tell by my set, by the vault, I love horror. It's no, you know, secret. And I love any type of horror. I like, you know, slasher. My favorite is monsters. I like Draculas and monsters. I like that. I like the creature. I like to see the makeup. I like the evil look. I like the scariness. I like the chase. I like that. But I do like the campy shit as well. And Bloody Bloody Bible Camp was just loaded with campy stuff. And we're going to try to do more stuff like that. We have Wayne, who's hard working right now, searching for the next movie that we're going to do.
Okay, Matthew's guitar.
If I don't get the actual director in, I'll have you again, Walt. The problem is I had the director, the chance to get flick, so, you know.
I'm a fan.
I know that.
I'm a fan of the show. Anyway, also, Matthew's guitar said, I really enjoyed the Cetro. I hope to have many more movie nights with you.
Yeah, we like movie night.
And JaegerBomb360 said, awesome cheese. And that's what they're about sometimes,
thank you.
Right?
The awesome cheese. I mean, the chick gets her head removed and he's still doing her. I mean, come on. You don't get it like that anywhere else. Plus, it was Reggie from Phantasm was in it too. Reggie Bannister. So, how could you not like it?
Okay. And next we're going to the Artist Spotlight with UFO with Craig Beerhorst. And I will just say, he was the perfect person to come in here and do that.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. I'm ding, 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 ding.
I love UFO, but
Craig is so passionate about UFO too, you know. And I've even talked to Wayne. I go, I got to find another band that he's. I know he's passionate about Thin Lizzy, and you and I have already done that. That's why I don't know. There's so many more bands that I need to talk about.
Sure, you guys can find.
But I've got to have Craig. Craig, I know if you're watching,
he's a natural.
Oh, he is, and his knowledge is just stellar. You know what I mean? That guy knows.
If anybody go back and watch the Craig. His first interview with you, and it really just tells you how it was back in the day. I think that's one of my favorite interviews to watch.
Yeah, Craig's a good guy, and I will have Craig back in here to digest another one of our heroes.
All right, Bobby Simpson, UFO Strangers of the Night, 1979. He was 15 at the time.
So
was one of the most played albums at parties in Pleasanton and Dublin in the 80s. Great live album. I know you wanted to say something about that, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we heard that record go on, I have to be honest with you. I basically learned who UFO was by that album. I'd never heard they were English. You know what I mean? I wasn't as exposed to that necessarily underground type hard rock. They were not on the radio at that time. You know what I mean? So
Me having lived with Chuck for a long period of time, that's one of his favorite bands too. So it's a doubling kind of thing.
But I mean,
that's how you grew up, right?
Once I got that, I listened to everything, and that's how I fell in love with Michael Schenker. And so that's when I knew who Michael Schenker group. And people were like,
"Yeah,
who's Michael Schenker?" And I seen him. It was I think it was in 79 or 80. Or 81.
Built to Destroy or
no? The very first one. They opened for Cheap Trick at the Kaiser. It was for the very first record.
Okay, and a good point here. Metal Dam 78 said, "Love the Chapman era as well. I think Long Gone is pretty damn close to my favorite UFO song. Do you think Chapman era is overlooked?"
No, very much so. I was listening to, I'm reading Instagram, and I see a post by John Tempesta a couple of weeks ago, and he goes, and it's him showing his record turntable, player, his record player,
I see those.
And I see No Place to Run on there, and I'm like,
I love
damn,
that album.
That record was, I listened to it for 3 weeks straight after that, and amazing. I got the song in my head right now.
Did you see them on UFO Day on the Green?
Oh, yeah, with
that
Journey.
That was with Chapman.
That was with Thin Lizzy, the Rockets.
Thin Lizzy,
Nazareth.
That was a good one.
That was when they had the clowns on the stage. Remember, I was 15. Yeah, Journey was on tour for Infinity. I went to that. I went to that.
Okay, and Rick Upshaw wrote, actually, the two songs on Strangers on the Night that are not live are Mother Mary and This Kid's, and Let It Roll is live? I didn't even know that there was.
I knew they went back and did it. And do you know that the record used to open with Natural Thing, but that's
but
not
that
how they.
Wasn't
that's not how they opened.
I have the the expanded remastered.
Yeah, right. It's
edition,
not how
right.
they opened the show.
So anybody can get that. I think that's a way better.
Because when you hear the original versions,
yeah, it's
would
like,
you please welcome from England, UFO.
So they faked this out for all those.
Well,
that's classic. That's how they should have opened.
Yeah. So, but that's not how they did. So, but I like them both. So.
All right, and then we're going to the April 14th update, and Burns 009 said, "Death Angel and Testament have released killer new albums. Ball's in your court now, Exodus."
Ball is in our court. We know that. We're very much aware of it.
Because those albums are great.
Angel nominated with a Grammy, and Creedence Titans and Creations, boom, boom, boom. So, yes, and we've been home, and again,
that puts some fire in you. That
well, sure it does. And I mean, you know, Gary's back from Slayer. There's no more commitment to having to finish a final tours with it. So, I think the pandemic kind of held us off for getting back together as a band. But I still see on the schedule
guitar players
that
will write. You know, even
Gary's got. You know, it's Gary is the main songwriter in the band.
Doesn't he have a million riffs? That's what it is.
And he has a million riffs. And it's just a matter of him time when he sits down and does it. There's nothing being released right now. Amazon's not taking anything. Record labels are not releasing. So I think the urgency is it's got to be good. And we want it good. We're not just going to throw something out there that you guys want to just send. Well, God, Exodus needs a new album. It's been 6 years. We understand how long it's been. You want it great, right? Did you love Blood In, Blood Out? You know, and the past three records were fucking awesome in my eyes, you know, as well. I didn't sing on them, but I love singing those songs, and they're killer. So I do not see anything coming out that you guys are not going to like. It's going to be stellar. It's going to be great.
And during sound checks, you heard little snippets from Gary, right?
Again, I'm taking that's what it was because
him and Tom.
Him and Tom were jamming on stuff that were, I could see him like directing them, and that usually when he's doing that is, tell him, and I heard at one point, no, that's got to play it faster. Play it as fast as you can. And I was like, yeah, play it as fast as you can, Tom. So that's what I'm hearing. Is it going to be part of a song? Quite possibly. Did I hear any full songs? No, nothing. I heard really heavy-ass changes in riffs that I heard. So just to be honest, that's what I know. But we know this. That record's going to be out. Don't worry. By the time we go back on the road, that'll be all... or be able to get back out of the road. That'll be all sorted out, I'm sure.
All right. And now Lee's wife, Celeste Altus, who's one of our biggest fans
fan
here,
ever.
Right.
Love you, Celeste. You are the biggest fan.
Here she is. Good job hunkering down.
We have to get her a shirt one as soon as we
during this
them.
Bizarre time. Zet, good health is everything. Loved your updates from the road and all the different countries and the ferry trip from hell. That should become a song. What's next in the series? You're watching. Please don't say Tiger King. So I guess she's saying, what are you watching on Netflix?
I didn't watch Tiger King. I did watch it. And I thought, why are people getting so excited over this? It wasn't
It was
really
so
all
long.
That much.
I thought, like, you'll never get those hours
I'll
back.
I'll say what I've been locked into is Dark Side of the Ring, which I don't know if you're a wrestling fan, is amazing. It's on Vice Network. Chris Jericho narrates it. It's all the stories of the pretty much dark things that happened in wrestling. I mean, they talk about Miss Elizabeth. They talk about the last episode to finish season two was the death of Owen Hart. And they talked about, it was a two-part episode this season about how Chris Benoit killed his wife and his son and how, you know, how, and it's just a very in-depth, Chris Jericho narrates it. It is, wrestling fans, if you're in, have not seen this, it is brilliant. You'll, if there's, there wasn't a dry eye in the room at the end of the Benoit thing. Everybody was crying. It was that. And of course, the second seasons of What We Do in the Shadows just came out, and I'm watching that too. That's hella funny. They've even gotten better.
All right. So how do you rate the Tiger King, just because it's such a cultural phenomena?
Four or five.
We'll never get those 8 hours back.
I'm telling. I kept going at it and going at it. And I'm like, why is everybody saying this is so great? I mean, I'm watching it with Vic, and I'm like, after the sixth episode, going, you know what's going on yet? I really don't know what's going on here.
Before the documentary, nobody knew who this guy was. Now it's funny. He's sitting in a jail cell. He's probably, all his marketability, he's at the top right now.
But
of,
you can't profit off of
that's what
so
I mean.
He's screwed. Basically, he can never write a book or do a movie because you cannot profit off of.
But they profited on him. That's the funny thing. Huh? Anyway, Scott Burr said, hey, it's time to get Jerry Burr on the phone. I was telling him the other day that I thought you should have been the AC/DC frontman instead of Axl. And Jerry chuckles a bit and said that Bon was one of your favorite singers when you were growing up and loved to hear me some AC/DC covers. And, you know, we know you got that AC/DC. Well,
to let Jerry Burr, everybody know, Jerry Burr was the first singer of Violence. And Jerry Burr lived in Dublin. He's a Dublin guy.
And another Dublin guy
moved to Minnesota. Well, at least I knew he was in Minnesota. I don't know if he's still there. So he has to come back to your old town where we do the vault. And I would love to have you in and talk about that. And we could do it in a weekend where I'm actually doing an AC/DC show, and you could see, and you could knock out two birds with one stone. So calling you out on that, bro. Fly to California.
Anybody around here gets a chance to see AC/DC. Great cover band for probably the best, tribute. I think.
Tribute. We are a tribute band.
Okay. I think the best one.
Thank you, Walton.
Okay.
We pretty, the lineup is very stellar. Everybody is very much professional in what
you know what I always say is, like, you take you away from it or you take Dave Chapman away from it, and it's not the same, but you put you guys together, and it's pretty much the Bon Scott era of
AC/DC. It is the Bon Scott. You close your eyes, that's what you hear.
Quality. All right, now we got White Bread, who I think I know who that is. Hey, Zet, how about your review for The Platform, Stay Safe? That's The Platform is a movie on Netflix. Did you happen to see that?
Did not.
Okay, so see that, because I saw it, and Juan Ortega saw it and loved it too. So check it out. It's a horror kind of movie.
Did not see it.
Okay, you got to see that. Darren Travis, Sadis, Zet, Wayne, and Walt, stay safe. I'll throw that in there.
Darren,
because
get your ass on my show. Darren, quit trying to duck and dodge my show.
And Steve DiGiorgio too.
Come on, I can't get Johnny. Johnny's in Texas, or I'd already rattled him up here. But you boys are, people want to talk. I got a Sadis postcard right behind Walter's head. People want to talk Sadis.
That's true.
Let me know.
Tommy D. Clean.
Hi, Wayne. Yeah,
Carp,
are you waving at me?
Angler.
Yeah, hi, Wayne. Yeah, he's waving at me. It means he must be on it right now, but I'm just going to wave back and act like a dick. Yeah. Hi, how are you? Yeah. That's what a producer does. That's right. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. Oh, who's to know?
We're going to wait?
No.
Oh, we're going.
I'm just ranting.
I thought we were commercial break or something.
No, there's no commercial break. I'm ranting.
Okay, Tommy D. Clean,
this
Carp,
show is,
Angler.
This is how we do it. It's raw, baby.
Zetro. Thanks for this. Check out Friday for the new Black Dahlia Murder album. Stay safe. Greets from Belgium. And your son, both your sons love that band. Ooh,
and I love Trevor. I'm good friends. I've become friends with those guys because they turned me on.
That's a heavy band, by the way.
And they're heavy.
Yeah, I
like
them.
And I love those guys. That's another thing. Like, there's a few bands that were kind of early on that I'd never heard of that I've become friends with. Because my kids were in love. Of Mice and Men is another one. My daughter loves Of Mice and Men. And we were on Soundwave Festival in Australia in 2015. And a lot of the bit you fly together, a lot of the bands, if you're on the same schedule, the way it runs on that, it's kind of difficult to explain, but a lot of times you'll get paired up in vans to go to the venue and come home together. And it seemed like every time we got in, it was a Mice and Men guys in there, and I became friends with them. And this, the same thing with Black Dahlia Murder. Cody kept telling me, check them out, they're great. And then I checked them out, and I dug them. And we Exodus did some festivals with them, and I became friends with Trevor, and he's done
it. I think it's easy for you guys to make friends with these younger bands that are coming up, because a lot of them were influenced by what you did. And they were kids.
That's true.
Right?
Or they weren't even born yet.
Right. That's true.
Or their dads weren't even born yet.
Metal Mickey, I'd like to see you talk about Force of Habit. And I know that's another project that we're on that.
We're actually, right? That's next.
Next, okay. So I thought that's I'd next. Mention
we'll
that.
We'll get on that as we are.
That's a unique album, by
as
the way.
As the pandemic thing is starting to ease, restrictions are easing up, we'll start doing more episodes.
That'll
like
be
that.
An interesting because I think Craig or someone mentioned how Force of Habit was so, like.
Jason Bittner from Overkill, Shadows Fall, says it's his favorite album. He X's album.
But
he
I think
loves
there was
all
some,
of them, but that's his
wasn't
favorite.
There some record pressure for it to sound a certain grunge way?
We'll get into. Yes. I'm not going to derive any.
It'll
of those
be a good interview.
It will definitely that. Be good.
All right, Justin Lopez. Hey Zetro, when this is all over, you should check out this place in SoCal Burbank called Mystic Museum, and they have an installment called Slashback Museum, and they made part of the place like an old VHS rental store and nothing but horror tapes and memorabilia and shit you'd love.
I saw your comment actually, and I Googled it and checked it out.
Oh, you did?
Yes,
already.
I did. So I've already seen that. So thank you. And believe me, leave me shit like that, because I get to go all over the fucking country and all over the world. So if there's some place like that, I got nothing to do at 2 o'clock in the afternoon but wait for sound check. I'll take a fucking Uber to this place and go buy cool shit like that. So thank you for that heads up. When I saw that comment, I Googled it and checked it out on my hit list.
All right. Now, Chad from the Black Star Riders, another one of the guests you had in.
Great, great guest.
Michael Gaffney says, thank you for this. Chad is my favorite drummer and has inspired me in many ways outside of even being a musician. That was amazing to watch. Eric Berry, so cool to see Chad on the vault. The three-way camera angle are definitely badass. Zet, Wayne, and everyone else involved with the show, job well done. Thanks for doing what you do. That's a shout out to Wayne there too.
Yeah, Wayne, we're gonna shout out to you right now.
Even though we're
and
on
you know what my shout out is?
We're on a single camera.
Yeah, I was just kidding. God, you didn't let me do it. God, Walt, I was gonna say that you're not special enough to get three cameras.
No, I'm not.
It's too much editing.
Oh.
So I
too
just
much
was
work.
Gonna say that. Wow, I
it's
thought
just
you know
Walt.
When you got here earlier today, I was telling him we have three cameras, and then our producer comes and says, we're not using that for this for viewer comments. I'm like, wow, Walt, really? So there you go. That's why
down.
We're not using it today. But I'm sure on our next quality guest, we'll have it back for
that's
you.
That's right. There's more work. Soon. I love it when he works. Anyway.
I'm glad we got the rip on him for it. Good.
Happy 420 episode. What? One of your favorite days of the year. Happy 420. Matt C.
Every day's 420. That's a. That,
it says, you need to trim your bush, mate.
Okay, dude. Okay. I know what I'm doing, okay?
Yeah.
I have been pulling the bottom leaves. If you were to see my plant now, I actually have string around it holding the arms horizontal.
Is that all so you or do top. You have help doing this?
No, I'm doing it.
Oh.
Oh, you know who
you're
I have?
You're advanced now.
I have Mike Crisp. You know Mike Crisp from Michigan? He's friends with the bands. Anyway, Mike Crisp, I FaceTiming every week, and Mike Crisp takes care of me. He's quite schooled in it, and he's, yeah, but I mean, come on. I've been smoking weed since 76. I could grow a fucking plant.
This is a good one. Aging Lifter wants to know, best restaurants in Dublin, California is? And you should know that. What are your favorite restaurants around here?
We like to go to Casa. We like Casa Roscoe. Everybody likes Mexican food.
Yeah.
We do like
I've
to
been
go
there.
To Frankie, Johnny, and Luigi's. They got amazing pizza there. I love their pizza there. Their Italian food's good, but Frankie, Johnny, Luigi's. And then there's a town right next door called Pleasanton. They have a pizza parlor called Porky's Pizza, just opened in the last year. I had
good pizza. It's hard to find.
That is very, very, very. You know, you pay for good pizza, Walt, yeah. And I don't have a problem with that. Pizza could be $30. You know what I mean?
As long when we were kids, good. It was like 12.
I know it was still
for a large.
It's never been cheap. You know, so yeah. So here that's what I would say on the restaurants in Dublin.
Mike Four Metal again says, Zet, you remind me of Cheech and Nice Dreams.
And oh, when I was going like on the buds, I was doing that purposely. That's exactly what I was doing. I completely
play off there.
I saw that. Remember, he's going, ooh, Oaxaca. And he's going, ooh, Cincy. Remember that? That's exactly what I was doing.
Now, we all love those old.
I love them. I watched Up and Smoke day before yesterday. Are you kidding me? And every time they light up, I light up. Just want you to know.
All right. So then we have Metal Mike's Metal Militia Meltdown Interview.
The greatest ever.
Metal I'm Madness 66. Now that was a bit unexpectedly unusual, LOL.
Yeah, it was. We're going to get Metal Mike back here in the vault real soon just to screw around. I think it's kind of a fun thing to do. I've always loved the Muppet type thing and the puppets thing. I think it's kind of funny.
You're branching out a bit.
You can get anywhere. You know what? There's no rules here. I have no rules. I can do what I want. If you choose not to like what I'm doing, you can go click and turn it off. It doesn't matter. But I like doing stupid shit like that. It adds content. Again, you know, it's just fun to do. But then again, I come back with cool ass interviews with Phil Demmel and Chuck Billy, don't I? So, you know, don't think I don't know what I'm doing here.
Metal Dam 78. Fun show, just the same. Hilarious questions for sure. All right. And now we're moving on to April 29th update. And Death Slayer, congrats to Chuck Billy was in the band Guilt before he joined Legacy. James Hetfield produced the Piranha demo. And Lee Altos is from the Ukraine. So those are the questions.
He was the first guy. Did no, they're not questions. That was a contest.
Right, the contest,
and he
right.
got him. He got. Did he win his?
Congrats, too.
And he got his prize, and we've sent that out. Well, I hope you received your package, and that's what you get. We will try to do.
That was good.
I don't know. Think of something right now, Walt, before we end this thing, and we'll make a contest for it. And I'll give you, guys, a Death Wish coffee package. It means I'll give you a canister, I'll give you a mug, some glasses, and some bandanas, some stickers and stuff. I'll give you a Death Wish coffee. I'm going to let Walter, while we're doing the comments, think of a good question for somebody to answer on this episode. First answer goes. Remember, that's how it works. First one up with the answer wins, because I don't know, you know, and we will send you. Our producer, Wayne, will send you a prize back.
All right. And
courtesy of Death Wish Coffee. When you're drinking coffee in the morning and you want to get your zippy on, what do you drink, Walt? Death Wish Coffee. There you go.
All right, and of course,
I learned that from TV.
In this
when I
episode
was, a kid.
Was the famous Swedish border strip search, and lots of comments on that. I can't even read them. There was a lot. They love that. That was a funny story.
It was funny to happen. Some of us were not as happy as that. Right. I was like, whatever. You want to look at my dick? Fine. Here it is.
And Metal Dam 78. Great episode, Zetro. I'm surprised Lee reacted the most hostile. From my experience, the people who grew up in a totalitarian environments and have something less totalitarian have little patience for that shit. I bet Lee has a million great stories.
2 million great stories, believe me. And he was not sitting for it, because his take was, here we are. You know, you obviously musicians. We're obviously not drug smugglers. We're coming into your country, which is a, you know, Sweden.
And around the in the world play, has changed. Marijuana is not a
exactly.
big thing anymore.
It's legal where I'm standing. It's completely legal. And we're driving to your country to entertain your people, to, you know, entertain you guys. Not here to draw anything. And we pay taxes. You know, we don't do it. We're not, you know, we're paying taxes in your country. And you're going to completely, thoroughly search our bus. And
it's like the old days, huh? It's like back in 1978 or 80, back in those days.
Well, I mean, that's what, well, we know. It's got to be very much hidden and not smoked before we go into Sweden. So we love all this. We love Sweden. We love all the bands from Sweden. Just the border, they can go fuck themselves.
Kevin Smith, Live PD with Zetro. Funny story. Glad everybody is all right.
Live PD.
Random question for Zetro. Out of all the lyrics you've ever written, which ones are you the proudest of?
Probably all the early stuff. You know what I mean? Although what I write now, I really enjoy, but I feel that I know what to do now. I know how to attack it and approach it. I think back then it was raw and it was just coming from.
I think when you were in Legacy and this, it was good. More horror based.
Well, it was more fantasy based. And then when I joined Exodus, Exodus is more realism
and political
violence and tongue in cheek, very much so. They'll talk about stuff. So I went from writing Alone in the Dark to Chemical, you understand?
Right.
So there's a lot of songs. I mean, Toxic Waltz, people love that song. It was written as a joke. I was like, I brought the lyrics. I go, look, I wrote this. It's just funny, Gary. Just read this. And I go, it's not the lyrics. I just was screwing around last night. And I wrote it down. He goes, oh, these are brilliant. I'm like, you're crazy. And look what happened then, 31 years later. So I'm very proud of everything that I write. You know, I think that that's what makes, to me, recording is great. But when you write it, it's there forever. And you're etched in stone forever. And I look at it that way, very much so.
All right. And now David Vidovic, can't even say it right, but he's from Croatia. And he just wanted to let you know that going to your show, he had to drive over the Slovenian border. And for 2 hours, they left us on the side of the road searching through their car. And then they just left all this shit piled there. They don't give a shit.
That's what they do.
And so, you know, police will be police, right?
Yeah. It's unfortunate that you had to drive so far and get hassled like that to see, you know, the tour and see the band. But we're glad that you did. Again, there's a lot of places that we go where they know that we're not drug smugglers. They know we're musicians, and they just, I don't know, it's just part of them. I mean, they've literally had, like, probably 25 people out there on two rock bands. And they spoke very good English, and they took a lot of time. And so when I was talking to one of the officers, I looked at him and said, how much is this costing you? I mean, for every one of your officers out here, when you go into the room to search us, you're going to have to clean and sterilize.
Who's
all that
getting by again, while they're taking the focus
know, but,
on
but
you?
Regardless of that, it's you just know? Like, was what you were going to get or not get worth all of this time and taxpayers' monies?
Well, we know that band members aren't so pure criminals. Come on, that's how you make your living, right?
Come on, it's a rock band. You're going to tell me if Willie Nelson or Snoop Dogg comes into fucking Sweden, you're going to not do the same goddamn thing? They're infamous for being weed smokers, so bullshit. You know what I mean?
All right, that's and also, bullshit. Joel will comment and say, Gary was stopped by a drug dog in New Zealand.
I know that story.
Kept him in the airport for a few hours. They couldn't find anything on him. I'm guessing he sat too close to Jack.
Yeah, you nailed all of those things. That's exactly what he thought. I wasn't in the band at that time. And from what Gary says, he never wants to go back to New Zealand. So if we never back to New Zealand, that's why, guys.
All right. So now we're moving on to Zetro's live Thursday, May 7th. You did a live Toxic Vault.
I did it with my son.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it again.
Claire Wilson, what a great live episode that was. Zet and Nick, you are both awesome. You need to do that more of these. I really hope there can be a Exodus Hatriot tour, and I can't wait for the new music from both bands. And I'm a big fan of Mel Brooks too. Love you guys.
I know you are, Claire. We have these little. She's from Manchester. She's one of the heavy metal moms. She comes to the shows with her husband and her kids, and I just love that. I love that it's a complete family affair. So I actually have paid attention to her. I've seen her posts on many of my stuff on social media, and she was in the crowd, actually, in Manchester, and I shouted out to her. And I do like to shout out to her and all of the heavy metal moms and dads that bring your families to see Exodus or any of these threat metal tours. It is definitely a family affair. It is good, friendly, good, friendly, violent family fun, I think. That's what it's to. It used to be good, friendly, violent fun. Now it's good, family, violent fun. Family fun or something like that. But we love that. We'll keep doing more and more. I'm actually going to have Cody come in, and then I'm going to have Madison come in, and I'm going to do with one each of my kids, we're going to do a live.
And you're thing. A grandfather now, right?
Yeah, I am.
So maybe yes, bring in the kid.
I could bring Jackson, my grandson. Yes, Nick had a son. He'll be a year before, I think, probably around by the time this gets aired, around June 2nd is his birthday, and I'm very, proud grandfather. He's a very handsome little boy, and we're very happy to have him. We love him, and we're very happy to have him. The next generation of metalheads from the Sousa family, he's coming. He's coming.
Uncle L, awesome show. Hey, Zet, can you tell us more about your action figures you got on the wall? And you guys are wrestling nerds like me, old school. Jericho is pretty groovy.
AEW is absolutely amazing. Anything Jericho touches turns to gold. I mean, I like Fozzy. And there's a lot of people that are not in heavy metal, and then they try to dip in and do it, and it's not genuine, and it doesn't come off genuine. Fucking Jericho's genuine. I love that song, Judas. I love hanging out with him. I think his band is a great band. He's one of the most... He's not even done yet. That's why we don't know how brilliant of a mind he is, because it's usually when they're finished is when they get their comeuppance, even though he gets it in a big way, because he has stayed relevant in that business for so long, and A-list. And I watch AEW, and he's done it right. It's brilliant. I love Jim Ross. I love Tony Giovanni. I Kenny Omega. I mean, I love the wrestlers that they have there. I love the way they present it. I'm old school in that
way.
Did
you go to WrestleMania ever back in the day?
I've never been to one. I've watched them on pay-per-view.
I went to one at the Cow Palace. So I just threw that in there.
I couldn't have been WrestleMania.
Yeah.
They never had WrestleMania at Cow Palace.
Oh, you sure they did? With the Hulk Hogan. I'm talking, you know, I'm pretty old, so... But it was like one of the original ones. Yeah,
the original WrestleMania was at Madison.
I was never into it. My girlfriend was into it at the time.
The only WrestleMania that's been in the Bay Area was at Levi Stadium.
We'll have to look at it, because I know. I have a t-shirt from it too. Anyway, let's move on. Paul Newton, and this is a comment. Andy Sneap, best metal producer out there.
Yes, and definitely.
He masters your... Does he produce
everything?
He does
everything. The whole thing. He does the whole thing. He's through the whole process. On Blood and Blood Out, he wasn't on the recording process. Jack did the actual recording, but working with him. And Andy's the magician.
And you go out to his house sometimes, right?
I have never done that. Gary has.
Okay.
I know Jack has. I know in Testament, Eric has. Chuck has.
Right.
So he's got kind of this barn set up that's his studio. That's cool out where
he lives.
You know,
it's funny. He's so good at getting it really well done that now his big rap, it's too clean and too good.
It's so good.
Isn't it?
It's so full.
I guess that's a compliment.
Back in the day, we thought we had sound, and then we met Andy Sneap, who actually takes the part of Glenn Tipton when Judas Priest is live.
Do you think he's going to stay in that for the next album, or do you think...
I'm sure.
Yeah, because...
I'm sure. He's having a great time.
That's right.
I don't necessarily know if he's contributing to writing or even playing on the record, but I know that he's definitely into being a live player. Talk to him about it.
All right, we're winding down now with the last episode that I have comments for, and it's the Phil Demmel 2 episodes, May 13th. And, I just read on Blabbermouth, and you broke the news about Phil announcing 2 new violin songs. Done, right? That's one of the big things that came out of that. And you made Blabbermouth. Demented Daniel. I remember discovering violence when I was in a record store. I was about to buy a Voivod cassette. An Eternal Nightmare caught my eye. One of the most phenomenal
album
covers.
From top to bottom. I'm not just talking about the way the record opens and the first song goes in. It's so heavy in that opening riff.
And what do you think about Bobby on the next Violence album? What do you think that's going
to
be like?
I think it's going to be great. Welcome back to the ranks that he belongs in, basically. I mean, I know he's been playing on, I think he lives in Florida now. He's been playing on, you know, other not so, you know, sizable or attention grabbing projects, but, you know.
Do you remember when he lived out here?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
We hung out a bit.
That's right. We did. And he's back. Being in Violence is great. It's I can't wait to see him.
Well, what we ought to do is next time he comes out here to practice,
I'll get him on the
vault, because that's what it says right here.
Oh, I've got Overkill stuff to talk about him about. Don't worry. Don't worry. We're doing that.
Survival Bay Area. Zetro, can you talk about Russ Anderson? He's always seemed like an unspoken thrash hero. Always was curious about his background story. I think he just got out of... He's been saying that he was in a rehab and he quit drinking. He lost all this weight. And I think that means that music's going to come back to him.
I don't know. I haven't heard from Russ other than when we had Craig on the show. And I have to say this. No one could sing like Russ back in the day. We were all trying to be something, and he was already that. That guy could sing his ass off.
Hit those
he's
highs.
A great talent. I just don't think that he really cared for what came along with it. You know what I mean? And
some people handle it better than others.
You know, and maybe it was he was good at it and liked it, but maybe his heart wasn't as. And I don't know. This is just speculation. Looking at and analyzing what I see and what I know. Mm. But
you're going to get him in here and ask him.
I would
questions.
Love to have him in here. I
think he.
I
come
do
now.
Have a contact through someone who's contacted him. I don't know if he's ready to come in, but amazing talent, amazing vocalist. It would be so great for that whole thing to come back together, and then the Bay Area would be completely filled in full circle. Heathen back, Death Angel back. Full strength, Exodus back, Testament back, and Forbidden back. That would really solidify it. I'd like to see it. I'm sure a lot of people would. The comments we got during Craig's episodes on here were all about, please put the band, get the band. We love the band, and they do, and people
Well, you're
do.
Bringing him in here so, one at a time, so that's...
Well, I'm
that's
trying. The, yeah. I'm doing... I remember telling him, because he tells that all the time, we were watching the premiere at Get Thrashed, and I had just come back from Europe. And I told him, I says, I'm sitting next to him and I go, listen, if you don't, you better put it back together. And if Russ doesn't want to do it, I'll do it because people want Forbidden. And they did. And then the next couple of years he had put that together and it was actually worked out really, the time they did the Alpha, the Omega Wave record was great. You know, Chuck and I actually sang a part on it. And Steve Smyth came in great. Great line. So we'll see. Hopefully, I don't know these things, but being a fan like everybody else, would love to see it.
Thrash Puppy 2010. How about a horror movie vault special? I know you're a horror hound too, Zet. Would be awesome to talk horror with you over a few beers, and they'd love to have you a show just about we did one your favorite movies.
We've done that. You know what I think we need to do, Walt, is we need to do like I did, go YouTube live, and then we'll have a discussion on maybe we'll do that. We'll do a YouTube live, and we'll just do a discussion on horror, and we'll talk about horror. And you guys, as fans, you guys can submit and chime right away, and we can talk about it. So what do you think?
Good.
There we go. There's an episode right there for you guys. So tell you what, in the next couple of weeks, I got some more guests that are coming in. And we could start scheduling that as well. So,
things coming up. Black Death, 44 minutes is not enough, but thank you so much. I could listen to you guys for hours. Love this shit.
Cool. Well, I go as long as I feel it's till it seems like it peters out. And honestly, even in my guests and some of the stuff I do, I don't want to kill them. You know what I mean? It's like I don't want to sit here for many hours now. Most of you, by the time you see this aired, have watched the Chuck Billy interviews, and we have only, and I'll touch on those briefly, we only, because we'll come back and do that. We only touched on the actual COVID. We talked about the tour and the album. I plan on having Chuck in here later this summer because there is no tours going on right now, and we are going to talk about Dublin. We're going to talk about his dad and baseball and Rampage and Ernie Bame and Willie Lang and playing at the stage and all
and how he manhandled people back then.
Oh God, how he used to just Chuck E. Cheese. We called him Cheese. We didn't even call him. I called him that for years. But back in the 80s, we called him Cheese. He was Chuck E. Cheese. So we're gonna go over that. So I hope you enjoy this stuff.
Yeah, actually the second episode of Chuck's interview just came out this morning, so it's fresh right here.
Well,
so,
they won't know that because this won't get aired until probably next week.
I get you. I'm
week.
Just so giving it a time frame.
As we're taping this.
Last question, it's a question, is from Matt Leon. Is Zetro wearing makeup?
Why would I wear makeup? Why would I wear makeup?
I didn't,
I already look pretty. I don't fucking need makeup. Oh yeah, that's another job of you. Hey Wayne, I need makeup. Oh yeah, I'll get you. I know it's like some eyeshadow. I know I'll get Connie over here. We'll make you do your makeup.
You're very natural, Steve. Like
I don't fucking
no. And you don't even dye your hair anymore.
I know, I know.
But it looks good. It looks
really
good. Yeah, yeah, it does.
Really,
I will say that. Because and you don't do any of that. And sometimes you don't even shave. And you
I
just
go to the gym and eat good. But I haven't been able to go to the gym because of this pandemic. But
I don't think you're all into trying to look perfect for this thing. You're just who you are when you wake up, and you're doing it.
I will. I wake up, I take a shower, this is what I am, and this is what I get. So that's what we got, huh, Walt?
All right, that was it.
Well, it was great having you back, dude.
I'm happy to be
good
back.
Good to see you. It's been a while. We're going to get more normal like this. Like I said, we're going to discuss some other episodes. We did do the YouTube Live. Worked really well, too. It was cool. Plus, people could watch it later. So we'll set that up. And we don't even need Wayne here for that. He could be home editing.
I'm sure he loves
he could be
that.
Home editing a three-camera episode that we did or something. I don't know. Something like that. So you guys, keep the comments running because we keep liking to do this. And obviously, if you haven't subscribed, subscribe. I love the numbers. We're almost at 5,000 to me. That's amazing that I have 5,000 of you metalheads that come and sit through this and watch and are very interested. It would be great to be 50,000 or 500,000. But I love every one of you that come in and comment. And I hope you like what we do here. It's been a little bit over a year now that we've been doing this. And we're just going to keep continuing to do it. It's part of what today's social medium is in these days. You don't need to have your own network television show to have your own television show and kind of do what you're doing. And I think that YouTube has proven that, and other platforms and other stands of social media. So, you know,
and your content is always
so
great,
you know. And I have many stories because I have been doing this for years, and I have many friends, and we will definitely try to get all of them into the vault. So you guys, it's great having you here. And shit, well, that's about it, huh?
That's it. It's a wrap.
So remember, leave me comments, share this, watch it on a huge screen because it's the best way to see it. And we'll see.
And you can get the t-shirt. I love that
t-shirt.
Yeah,
go to greyhavenmedia.net. We still have those. And
you saw people on tour, because I remember you said in your videos.
I love that. I look out in the crowd. Go there. And that patches now, too. And so now on the battle jackets, I'll see Zetro's Toxic Vault. And so go check it out. Oh, we our contest. What are we going to do? Come up with a question, Walt.
With a question.
I have one.
Oh, good.
Last year, I was at a horror convention, and I had a party after the horror convention. And one of the people that came back in my eyes was a very famous actress.
Yes.
And her name is Veronica Carlson.
Mm-hmm.
And she played in a lot of the Hammer films. Now, her cross is that three people from the Star Wars movies she acted with. She did a movie prior, with three of the actors. Name all three. If you can name all three, you'll win. You'll win the Death Wish Coffee prize pack.
Okay, and I'll put in a bonus question. There was a famous Bay Area old schooler that's no longer, but he was known for walking on people's heads and diving. And if anybody,
the Bay Area's gonna get that one. That's not no fun.
Well, it's
see,
a bonus.
They know that. They know that. What I gave them, they're gonna have to do
well,
some work
oh,
for.
Oh yeah, they are.
They're gonna have to do some work for.
But
so.
Name that person.
Okay, name that person. But you will win the coffee if you name the three people from the Star Wars movies that Veronica Carlson acted with. We'll see you guys in the vault real soon.